You need some. Well, hello. This is Young Chow from the Beat with Kate, Mike, and Heather. We're about to discuss the How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Huff. I would like to start this conversation off by letting Kate lead it. So, with all due, here's Kate for you guys.
Hello, Mr. Miles. So first we read the introduction, which basically talked about how many studies are biased without them even knowing it. So earlier in the year we did a mini project where we had to find a picture that was misrepresented. That didn't tell the whole truth.
We're
just talking about the thing, the book. Yeah. Like for the introduction, it talks about just data and how people, statisticians in particular, can manipulate data to give off.
The project that Katie's talking about was the one where we had to interpret if it was a whole truth, and there's different ways of looking at it, saying like, okay, this is still true, but it's not the exact representation.
It's not the full truth.
Yeah, and we had that thing where we had the little card, and you had to write down, what you thought the truth was, and then when we got it, like, there was different answers, but they all still made sense.
And then he also gave us a article, and we had to find out where the misrepresentation was, and I believe it was about...
It was about the me and the mode, right? Or something.
Yeah. And, yeah.
So that's what the introduction just talks about.
Okay. So
do you want to talk about chapter, or start with chapter one?
Yeah, chapter one was about samples and populations, and basically the whole entire thing was about, it started out with the average young man class of 24 makes $25,000 a year, which he talked about how that was a lie because people who would answer to that
are usually like rich or famous,
yeah,
or just worth,
and they
want
to show
question.
Off, and the poor people wouldn't reply to it because they were embarrassed,
or they're also lied to it too. They would actually say they made this much money, but actually they did not make that much.
Yeah, or they couldn't find the people that made X amount of money because they moved or things like that.
Well, this chapter had a lot to do with like just the first quarter, and since that was the one quarter I actually did my homework, I actually remember like a lot of the game of pig things. We had like a lot of assignments that had to do with all this kind of population stuff, and what it was we were really starting to get a sense of like finding what, and you said this earlier, the mean, medium, and mode, finding different quarters and qualities from large sample data sets. And so we did a lot of stuff on like calculators, not computers, calculators.
Okay, so it also talked about how the only way to get a correct sample from a population was to basically put all of the names of the population into a bucket and pick randomly from that bucket. But that's usually too expensive to do for most companies and most magazines and things like that. So they do interviews and things like that on streets and places that don't represent the whole entire population. Because if you, let's say you go to Market Street and you interview a bunch of people, that doesn't represent people who farm or people who work in factories, people like that. It represents businessmen and people, homeless people, and things like that.
I think just to summarize up the chapter one, it is mostly on getting an accurate sample. Like, not only in size, but in representation.
Because, mm-hmm.
like you said, you don't want to be taking a sample size off of mm-hmm. a particular area, because that's not an accurate representation of it. And then just making sure there's no biases, like bringing it back to their first example with the yeoman, that a lot of them lied or could have lied, and they don't really know about lying. Like, there's no real way that's them telling.
Yeah, so
them.
Really it's almost nearly impossible to get a correct.
Yeah.
Unless you count up every single person.
Yeah,
and every,
yeah.
But you still
have
to, you still, it still needs the exact numbers,
yeah.
Which would,
and
you
people
gotta take out the bias of it.
But then you're also, remember we did that stuff for the CNN, the CNN reports, and you got to see like this commercial is saying this thing. Remember that stuff? We had something with CNN report. Never mind, if no one else remembers it. But there's a mini project with CNN and we had to print out, it was a homework, but we had to print out something.
Like a graph or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then it didn't have to be necessarily seen. Yeah, I remember you talking about with a newspaper or something.
Yeah, there we go.
And then, that's what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, and I think another thing you touched on was, like, the random sampling. Can't you remember at the beginning of the year we had, like, a random digit sheet where
yeah.
we could do a random thing on a calculator, could roll a die? Besides from the die, which is probably the most random out of a few, like, it's hard to get.
Oh, I completely remember that stuff with the bags and crap.
Yeah.
All
right. Like, with the calculator, which isn't something I missed, it, like, my junior year, there's, like, or the random digit table that's, like,
I think
programmed
the random
into
digit
stuff.
Table was
that's probably the
that.
Least... That's probably the least random.
Yeah.
So, like, even if you do random, there's it doesn't ensure a perfect data sample.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so chapter two.
All right, chapter two, which we actually read at the beginning. All right, the well-chosen average looked at the mean, median, and mode, which can, depending on how you want to represent your data, is what, like, statisticians or marketers or people use. They can, because that word average just seems like it's broad in general, so they might use the mean, median, or mode depending on which one they feel will help get their point across the best, whether or not it actually accurately gets the point across.
There's one example on page 34, and what it was talking about was, like, profits and wages. And it says the average wage of a salary, blah, 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 and the average profit of a salary. And then it gives this little graph down below. And it's showing how there's, like, one little sliver of it that goes, that intersects the profits and the large pie of the wages. And I think that just goes back to what you were just saying about how different numbers. Sorry, I don't know exactly the words you used, but what you're saying. Yeah, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, depending on how they want to represent it, they can use which one to share. Which gives off the impression, which is not necessarily accurate.
I like how they said, like, if it has to do with something like the person's height, usually it's skewed.
What are you talking about, my height?
Not skewed, but
is that
it's normal curve. No, that's
true. Is it chapter, I think?
It's chapter two. I thought it talked about, because that talks about mean, medium, and mode. Like person's height's always...
Oh,
yes,
at the beginning.
So it's always...
Something about height's used as a common example.
Use as normal, but everything has to do with income. Every company always lies. It has something to do with income, just to make sure that their source of their company is the best, or they're trying to sell the best product. Like also the toothpaste one, I like. Or was that chapter?
That's
three?
Chapter
yeah,
three.
That, never mind the toothpastes.
Okay.
That was confusing.
Do you want to go off of? Are we good with chapter two? Would you, since you were on the way to chapter three?
I just read it all at once. I didn't actually stop, so everything's just in my head now.
I hear you. Okay, well, take it away with chapter three.
Well, chapter three basically... Oh, wait. Chapter three basically talks about how, like...
It talks about, like, the difference between probable and possible, and what it gave was a lot of different... I thought there was just a lot of examples of different scenarios in chapter three, and what they were all trying to get at was the difference between, like, what's happening and what could happen, and then, we learned about that. We did a lot of stuff on the board with those games. Like, I think the game of NIMH touched on that. So there's definitely a lot of different games that we learned to play that involves what Chapter 3 touched upon.
I like how, like, some companies just, like, they just, like, take a few samples and be like, oh, I like this sample. It makes my product look better. We're just going to say that toothpaste clears 23% of her cavities, even though, like, in reality, it doesn't actually, that toothpaste wouldn't clear.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
I thought the height chart one was quite interesting, where they had just, like, you could buy a chart and predict how tall your kid was going to be based off of, like, age and height, how tall they had grown at a certain part, which was interesting because, like, that doesn't work. I feel like any person with common sense would know that every kid is different and has growth spurts at different things, but they just, like, took a little sample size and did the average and
yes.
made a chart.
So people use mean, medium, mode to get their way and to sell their product as much as they can, and so they can make more money. It's all about money.
Yeah, I think with the third chapter, it was about, like, how to look at the data that you have. the last example on there is the record temperatures in Oklahoma City, where they've got the average temperature, I wonder which average that is they're using, and then they've got like the range and the record highs and the record low, and the range is pretty large, but they've just chose from that sample, they've chose the little specific, the average, or they could just show the high, like, it just depends what part of the data they want to show.
What's your favorite part about this these chapters, guys?
These chapters?
I like
plural?
The pictures. I
these
think they're
chapters.
Very creative. Like the one with the pennies, and one is heads, one is tails, one is on its side, and then the other, a stork is taking it away. I thought that was creative.
I like the examples and how there's just multiple examples, so that way, like, I'm not too, like, they don't try and get too much involved in a story. It's a lot of different, like...
It's definitely not boring.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying, I guess. Because I don't know how interesting, like, it's just a straight-up, like, one linear story about this would be.
I think also what is nice is that they have lots of little examples, scenarios, which
so what,
if you don't understand... I know, but if you don't... Hang on. Calm down. If you... calm your waters. If you don't quite, like, get another one, or it takes a little bit, you've got another example, so kind of... refamiliarizing yourself with the concept that they're for.
I like all
yeah,
these examples.
They're trying to show us.
I like all these examples because, like, you can really relate to all these examples. Cause I'm pretty sure, like, everyone, like, oh, not us, but, like, most adults will have a job and, like, they'll read this, like, oh, this company looks like blah, blah, blah. And I assume most of us like toothpaste and don't like cavities.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, how, like, we all relate to this and how we all, like, get so predicted by these stats and, like, we don't actually, like, see the full truth and stuff.
It leaves you to think critically. Like, think about the temperature things. I'm moving to the Netherlands. I don't know what the temperature is, so that's something I should look at for the...
It's in Europe. It's very cold.
Well, depends on the region. But, like, if I look at the average, now I have to know, well, does that actually mean I think the average of that one means, or what?
We're doing chapter 4, right?
No, we're up to chapter 3.
All right, we're done. Goodbye.
We'll be back next week.